Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Show. So glad you can be with us. And I just have to say that right out of the gate, that looking at the Dem debates, the debacle, demolition derby, I mean, just pure nonsense. I mean, you talk about Nutsville, crazy town, Looneyville, you had it all. And we're talking about the debates throughout, not only Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, now South Carolina. And we have the pure communist. I mean, you don't get any more communist, whether it was the 60s or 70s or the early 2000s or 2020, than Bernie Sanders. He burns for communism, and there is a backlash. And here he is defending, and then you're trying to use Obama as a shield because of the literacy programs in Cuba. Isn't that just lovely? So you can have brutal dictatorships, and you can have abject poverty, but as long as you're teaching the children to read and write, then they get a pass, you know, or it's not so bad, or that we should complement literacy programs. Shouldn't it be a given that just about any and all nations should be teaching the young, the youth, how to read and write? You know, just a basic education? We're talking about literacy? Really? Okay. Some of the takeaways really is the Bloomberg, the billionaire, sort of like a wedding crasher, you know. Bloomberg is crashing the party. And we talked about the Republicans, the Three Stooges and Three Amigos, and how they tried to, for a very, very, I mean, they didn't even get 1 second of fame, let alone 15 seconds or 15 minutes. And they've already been vanquished. They've been annihilated without Trump even lifting a finger. So Trump has zero opposition through these primaries. Now, remember, going back to Papa Bush, remember King George? Buchanan took him on. So there have been precedent where the incumbent president had challengers within their own party, and Trumps were just basically never Trumpers, just people that were, you know, malcontents, discontents, just wanting to get, they just wanted to get a little bit of stroking. And they wanted to be praised by the liberal established corporate press. Okay. And be in good company with the never Trumpers. Okay. So back to these debates. Bloomberg got blown away. Even though he is, crashing the Dem party with lots of money, lots of ads, media blitzing, the Bloomberg Blitz, the Blitzkrieg. And it's getting a few points here or there. You know, some people like were hoping that maybe billionaire versus billionaire, New Yorker versus New Yorker. Isn't that interesting that Bernie really is a New Yorker? Yeah, so he went up to Vermont to escape New York City. But nevertheless, he's a New Yorker. Trump's a New Yorker. You have Bloomberg, a New Yorker. And, well, of course, Hillary, if she's still lurking and looming, for whatever reason and for whatever purposes, is, you know, who knows. Then there was rumor that Bloomberg might bring her in as a VP candidate. That would be, disastrous. The fact is that Bloomberg, you would think that he debated many times. He had 3 terms as mayor. Yeah, he was able to use his money and be able to, his influence to change the New York city laws in order for him to run a third time for mayor. So you would think he'd be able to debate. And, of course, you know, he's been coached, and he did a little better in the second one. He couldn't even tell a joke. I mean, that's one thing about Trump. Trump's debate skills aren't the greatest, but he is a warrior and he can fight. And he actually has a wry sense of humor, and that showed in the debates. But he can also fight dirty, fight ugly, which you kind of have to do in politics. So you had the pile on for Bloomberg, and then Warpath Warren. I mean, she's essentially the female version of Bernie Sanders. If you really think of it, they're both very mean and fiercely, you know, repugnant-looking figures in politics. And what I mean by that is the scour, and Bernie Sanders, you would think he would have learned how to use a microphone. I mean, there are some people in broadcasting that get a little too close to the mic, and you hear that, you know, and so he was the spittle and his breath blowing across the mic. You would think someone would have told him that, you know, it was having an adverse effect. And just their voices, very bothersome, to say the least. So you say, and then you have Buttigieg. I don't even know, I don't care if I'm pronouncing his name correctly or not. It doesn't really matter. But we'll just say Mayor B, okay? Well, then again, Bloomberg was a mayor too, but a mayor of a metropolis, you know, the largest city and metropolitan area in the United States. But little Mayor Pete, Pistol Pete, you know, this guy, and we all know, if we harken back to our college days, high school days, you know, where someone's the smartest kid in the room and he has to let you know it. Essentially, that's their only asset. So again, there's no, I have no problems with someone being smart. I like to think that I have a certain level of intelligence and education too. I mean, he really is in the scholarly range, and he's kind of dweebish and nerdish. He's one of those kind of guys that just gets under your skin. I mean, he's someone who thinks he has all the answers, that he's, you know, he's perfect Pete. You know, he would never make a mistake. And that's just not true. I mean, he had a rough time as mayor there in South Bend, Indiana. And I've been to South Bend, Indiana. And I had an affiliate at one time in South Bend, Indiana. And we were very popular back in the 90s in South Bend, Indiana. A lot of good people there. And, you know, beyond just Notre Dame. But yeah, he's kind of an academic, you know, kind of pointy head, intellectual type. I mean, Rhodes Scholar, I mean, so you could do a little research on that. And, they are kind of schooled in globalism, internationalism, one worldism. So, you know, just like Bill Clinton. So, you know, not all Rhodes Scholars take on that mantle, but most do. Pete, I could see someone bringing him in as a VP candidate. Yes, he's had some surges, you know, in certain areas. And these caucuses, well, that's really the reason Obama won, was because he won a lot of caucuses. It's caucuses, you have a smaller percentage of the population, and they discuss and debate, and then they vote. But it's not as many people at the caucuses because people don't want to spend 4 or 6 hours, you know, debating the issues. And people say, well, that's like pure democracy, at its best. I really don't like caucuses. I don't really see them, especially they can be easily manipulated and dictated to. And Obama won a whole bunch of them. I mean, that's how he beat Hillary, was he did exceedingly well and was well organized in those caucuses. So Midwest Pete, Pistol Pete, was able to, and again, he's not for, you know, gun rights, but I'm just saying it as a term because I really haven't come up with one. I said butthead earlier, you know, in one of the podcasts, but that's probably unfair. But nevertheless, you know, so Bloomberg is falling really flat. You know, and Biden, what can you say about Biden? I mean, he's in all likelihood he will win the South Carolina primary. He does fairly well with minorities and in metropolitan areas. And quite frankly, I see a scenario where Obama may step in, even though he said he was going to hold out, but there's going to be some dropouts after Super Tuesday. And I could see Obama coming in to shore up Biden, unless for some reason he would support someone else. But I don't see that happening. And that would really help Biden a lot. So he could have a resurgence beyond just South Carolina. So it'll be interesting because so many of the power brokers were thinking, well, maybe Bloomberg could do this for us. Maybe Bloomy could take on Trump. And, you know, he's got the money and he, you know, everyone has seen the ads and they think that maybe he's competent and capable and that he, but then again, his baggage has been, unloaded on the American populace because, he just like Trump, he likes to call women certain pejorative terms and he is a control freak and he has said some pretty nasty things and it's all coming back to haunt him. So we'll be right back. More to come. Hold tight. Tom Donahue, your show, Tom Donahue Reports.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer, S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. So glad you are with us. And I want to revisit or at least continue on what we were talking about in the first segment, and that is the Dem debates, the dimwit, dumb A debates, and you put an SS on that too. And again, I'm not saying it because that each individual is uneducated or dumb. It's just the things they say are coming from a place that I think is pretty darn dumb, okay? These dimwits, these dunces, they really are... I mean, I have to say that this group has shown the realities and the shortcomings, and sorry, Pete, and sorry, Bloomy, but, yeah, shortcomings, yeah, you know, and I'm not talking about just short in stature, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, I mean, we're really dealing with socialism and communism, and we're dealing with anti-Americanism, because anyone that embraces socialistic and communistic principles, are un-American. And really do not fit into the American tapestry. Do you have a right to think that way and believe that way and to run as a political candidate? Absolutely. The Dem Party, the Dimwit Party, the Dam Dems, really have become the Un-American Party, and they've become more or less the Communist Party of the United States. And, you know, the leader of the pack, of course, is Bernie Sanders, Field the Burn, and then Warpath Warren. You know, they're essentially, in terms of not only the scour, not only in terms of their just anger and vitriol, and their just repugnant nature. I mean, they're just two unlikable people. I mean, Bernie Sanders, at least, I mean, he says what he believes. I mean, he's just about 99% pure communist and admits it so, admittedly so. I mean, he'll dance around a little bit of the wording and he'll try to dress it up a little bit. But for the most part, he's sort of like, because if it came down to Bernie versus Trump, it's going to be the capitalist versus the communist. And we know who's going to win. And they both bring out large crowds. They both have, they both have rabid bases. Some, depending on perspective, might think radical bases. They both have enthusiastic bases. And they both can draw a crowd. They both have very loyal followers. And so there would be a lot of passion. There would be, could you imagine competing to rallies in various cities and, you know, the clashes that would happen? I mean, you know, Bernie's going to have, we're talking about, you know, some of the most despicable and heinous radicals that, and then you would have, you know, we the deplorables, you would have the rednecks, the cowboys, you know, the patriots, that would be staring them down and would get the best of leftist communist scum. And I guess you could really boil down to, you're going to have the Antifa types. And I mean, I don't know about the Black Panthers, but you're definitely going to have Antifa as part of the Field the Burn type rallies. But again, don't count Biden out yet. You know, I predicted a while back, and I know that it was somewhat unpopular because people thinking that he can't remember things and he continues to botch things and he just doesn't have people are not excited. They're not feeling his burn. But that's the reason that Bloomberg was, they were thinking that maybe Bloomberg could be the new Biden that would be more able to take on Trump. And now they're realizing he can't even beat, these dumb bums, in the debate. So Trump would just, run roughshod over him. He would just, it'd be steamroller, Bloomy. But yeah, it's interesting that you have so much New York influence on the Republicans and the Dem side, in these power positions. So let's go back to Buttigieg. And again, I don't care if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. It doesn't matter. Now, if I was interviewing him, of course I would practice, to make sure I got the pronunciation correct. At least I think I would. So you got this smug, thinking that he's, of course, the smartest guy in the room with all the answers. But it's funny when he gets confronted at some of these debates. He gets a little bit rattled. But I have to say that he is very articulate. He is very smart. And he does seem to have a lot of the answers, not all the answers, for the Dems. And I could see him being taken on as a VP a running mate. I really do. Now, there was some talk that Bloomberg was looking at Yang. I don't think that's going to go over very well. And how about the Steyer? You know, you ever see when people have plastic surgery? I'm not saying he did. That their faces, like, they just, they're frozen. And the eyes just bulge. Here's a guy that all he wants to do is talk about, you know, climate change and climate catastrophes, and he was the first, and he's thrown a lot of money, and he had all these initiatives, and then they find out, oh, well, he was backing private prisons, put a lot of money into that, made a lot of money, and then he goes, oh, well, then I realized that wasn't a good thing, and I sold all the stock. Yeah, mm-hmm. But back to Bloomberg crashes the party. Not even a Democrat. And it was, Buttigieg had a pretty good line in the debate, and he said that, I'm trying to remember the specifics of it, because I'm doing this kind of off the cuff. And some people say, oh, we should have everything memorized or a prepared presentation. Well, then go to a lecture or a seminar, or someone that just loves teleprompters. That's just not the way I do this program. Now, there are times I do quote. There are times that I do read from something. There are times I do take some notes. But today I'm just freewheeling. You know, it's just a stream of consciousness and things that I've just kind of, you know, have, I'm getting this off my chest. You know, it's been some ideas and some thoughts and feelings about all this. And I thought I would put this into a podcast form, which actually would become part of a program form for our affiliates. Yeah. So Buttigieg, he ends up, saying that essentially that, you know, he said, well, you know, he was trying to allude to the fact that he actually is from the Democrat Party. And as I was saying about party crashers, he said, you know, he's referring to Bernie Sanders because he actually is an independent, really a Dem socialist, and a damn socialist, which really is a communist. And, you know, he just wants to, that's a little bit softer version, maybe a little more palatable for some to say, I'm a socialist, not a communist. Yeah, a lot of difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so Bernie Sanders, because he's not officially a Democrat, and then Bloomberg was a Republican, he kind of gave them a zinger there, because they really are not officially part, they weren't until recently, in terms of Bloomberg. And so Bloomberg got savaged. I mean, he just got really piled on. He got really beat up in the first debate, second debate a little better, but still, even with the canned lines and jokes, it didn't go that far. Now, I mean, he is calling out Sanders and Warren for socialism and communism, so that's a good thing, because he is a capitalist, and he is someone that, I don't know, I think he's worth 500 billion. I mean, it's just an extraordinary amount of money, but media empire, and you know, very successful, and you know, he does have some political acumen and experience. Debate skills, not so much. So who's winning these debates then? Well, I guess it depends on perspective, but I say Sanders to some extent in the Nevada debate. Buttigieg always seems to, you know, do pretty well. How about Klobuchar? Okay, so you fixed your hair; it doesn't look so bad, and you don't whine as much. But she's not a very likable person. She really isn't, and she was a ruthless prosecutor that was making her name. You know, just like the dropout from, you know, Senator from California, you know, she also had a lot of legal jurist baggage. The field's going to get whittled down. I mean, you can see that already starting to, you know, take form. And so it'll be interesting after Super Tuesday where things stand, and then I can give you even a better assessment of what's going on. But yeah, it's an un-American party. The true colors of communism are shining through, and there's no real true moderates. That's just a joke. Right back, hold tight.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live.
Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. The next two segments, we're doing a space segue, no pun intended, but it's about the United States Space Force. And you know, the president made a comment during one of his rallies, and it sparked kind of a mission and a movement to create a Space Force. And so Angeline was very interested in doing some research, and you're going to hear from her based on various articles and research that she was able to uncover. And I'm looking at an article here, February 24th, 2020, Space Force, what will the newest military branch actually do? Well, as I go through this article, and it was written by Leonard David, ExxonNews.org, and also Space.com is a contributor to this, it's still a little bit nebulous, still a little bit unclear. But, you know, we've got satellites involved, we've got countries competing for space in outer space, and I know Angeline's going to mention this, maybe more than mention this, that we have ETs, space aliens, you know, there's a lot of paranormal activity, and so that could play a role as well. But it's going to be a separate branch, not just like a small little offshoot. So what's next for Space Force? Space.com asked a variety of experts in space policy about the practicalities, the pathways, and the potential pitfalls ahead for the U.S. Space Force, referring to a comment President Donald Trump made during a speech in March of 2018. So whether it will evolve into an organization that solves any of the problems that prompted it remains to be seen, says Fries. On the negative side, it certainly increases the perception that the United States is leading the way on the weaponization of space. So without further ado, I'm going to let Angeline go into greater detail in this segment and the next.
So Tom, today I wanted to talk about Trump's recently formed Space Force. I heard him bring this up, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe a little less. And when I first heard about a Space Force, I'm thinking, for what? For alien invasion? For, I don't know, you know, why do we need a Space Force? So I wanted to do some research on it because he recently, a few days ago, signed this Space Force into existence. So it is established now as another arm of government, and I believe it is coupled or underneath or working with the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force. So I found an article on Fortune.com written by Justin Bachman and Travis Triton. So Trump says the reason that we needed this space force was that there are potential threats now from China and Russia. And since our nation relies on satellites for defense operations, we need to establish a space force. So the thinking is that satellites now make much of our modern warfare, and it's possible through GPS, wireless communications, and also sophisticated weather forecasting. He says that that would make all of these a military target potentially. So in the past, the U.S. Air Force had been assigned to defend American satellites and spacecraft, but currently the Senate and House have a tentative agreement on, okay, how are we going to fund this Space Force? So the original question I had, okay, so what is the Space Force supposed to do? Well, the Department of Defense made a report to Congress, and they were calling for, quote unquote, aggressive offensive capabilities to defend U.S. interests in space. Now, included are systems that could be degraded, denied, disrupted, destroyed, manipulated by adversaries. So they want to have this joint space training and military exercises that they would do with U.S. allies as part of this space force. So I guess they want to call for joint space training. So the space force would sit within the U.S. Air Force. And the way they described it, it's similar to how the Marine Corps sits within the Navy. So the question is there truly a military threat in space? And from what I can gather, the main threat is the ability of other countries to be able to come in and disable or destroy satellites from the ground. So this is their main concern. So it's not necessarily that there's going to be a fight in space. At least that's not what they're alluding to currently. But they're saying there's ways from the ground that they could destroy satellite communications or satellites that they use to, say, keep ground troops operating smoothly, that kind of a thing. So some of the examples they give is in 2007, China used a ballistic missile to destroy their own old weather satellite. They had an old weather satellite, and they went ahead and destroyed it. And the satellite was orbiting 535 miles above Earth. Another example they give is Russia testing missiles to strike and destroy satellites or ballistic missiles. So they're saying that there's definitely a potential there now, threats from other countries. And so this is their strong reasoning for this space force. And like I said, communication satellites could be jammed from the ground and disrupt troop operations. Now, there are existing treaties governing space. However, they are unclear, which is another reason they want this space force. Even civilian satellites could be targeted by nations that just want to make trouble or punish enemies. So how would the space force defend space? Well, the U.S. military has pretty much already been in charge of protecting satellites from threats. And in 2018, Vice President Pence said America should have a dominance when it comes to space. So the creation of the Space Force would mean that we would lead the way, and also it gives them ability to have bigger research and development budgets. So they would likely, this Space Force will likely take over the Air Force's current duties of tracking satellites. Now, I looked further into more historical parts of this, and I found in 1967, there was a UN Outer Space Treaty, and that treaty banned weapons of mass destruction in space and also prohibited orbiting nuclear weapons, but not all weapons. So this is the loophole, but not all other weapons. So if you fast forward from 1967 to 2017, the Air Force Space Commander General John W. Raymond said that the goal is not to have conflict in space, but we still need to treat space as though it could be a war-fighting domain. Thus, we need this Space Force. You know, a curious side note that I remembered when I was doing this research, I don't know if you recall, but I knew it was around 2011 or 2012, and I did some digging. I remember the UN announcing that they were going to appoint some kind of an ambassador, and it had something to do with extraterrestrial life, because I remember when this happened, how odd it was to me that they were appointing a UN ambassador to be the public relations person to alien life. So, of course, that begs the question, is there something they're not telling us? Is there something they're insinuating? And I just thought that was a curious side note. Were we creating this UN ambassador position for public relations of space aliens? And I thought that was kind of strange. Well, anyway, I did digging and I did find, because I remember at the time I didn't understand this, there was someone appointed in 2011. Her name was Maslan Othman, and she was an astrophysicist. She was appointed the first director of the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, and she dealt with space-related issues and peaceful uses of outer space. She was especially ambassador to extraterrestrials if and when they decided to contact humanity. So I thought that was odd. And then also, just to add to that, Stephen Hawking, the famed and now deceased physicist, helped to legitimize this. They call it exopolitics, and exopolitics basically examines the public policy implications of alien life. So Hawking even thought back then that we needed to know to how to actually deal with aliens should this arise. Okay, well, I'm kind of getting off in another direction, but I just kind of wanted you to see, I think that's a historical piece that if it's not relative right now to the Space Force, I'm almost wondering if it will be down the road, if this Space Force is being set up maybe for something other than what they are telling us.
TalkRite, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRite makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRite today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, liberty-loving and freedom-fighting.
Now, the costs, okay, We know military has high costs. NASA has high costs. In fact, I looked up, and I think the current costs or budget for NASA, their annual budget right now is $21.5 billion. So we're not talking about small amounts of money here. Right now, the Air Force, like I said, is doing a lot of the satellite tracking, but the Air Force is going to transfer $11 billion of its current space-related programs to the new Space Force. So again, the Air Force will be transferring some of their responsibilities over. And from what I could get out of this article, it's to the tune of $11 billion of its current related to the Space Force. Now, Trump has already called on Congress to allocate $8 billion over a five-year period for funding for space security systems under the Space Force. Now, more history that I found. A separate military branch is not something that's recent. What I didn't know, but what I found out from this article, was that this isn't the first talk of a quote-unquote Space Force. This Space Force idea actually dates back to the Cold War era when the U.S. and Soviet Union realized that controlling space could give them an edge when it came to conflicts. Also, in 1982, Congress urged the creation of an aerospace force to develop laser battle stations in space to defend against Soviet ballistic missile attacks. And then in 1983, if you remember, Reagan called for this Strategic Defense Initiative, and this was nicknamed Star Wars. But it never really went past the research stage. So Star Wars was kind of the successor in the Missile Defense Agency, and they were supposed to use Earth-based systems to destroy missiles at high altitudes. Then in 2001, the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, said that the U.S. was not prepared to defend its enormous dependence on satellites. So he was kind of hinting that, yes, this is something we need to do. And then finally, in 2017, House Representative Mike Rogers, a Republican in Alabama, began pushing for this new Space Force. And then it was shortly thereafter that I first heard Trump talking about it. So what is the argument for this new military arm? Why not just use the Air Force? I mean, they're the ones that have really been in charge of this up until now. So why not let them focus their budget and priorities? Well, no, they're saying now they're going to be more looking at conventional air superiority and managing space only as an ancillary part of what they do. And then when conflict arises, it's the Air Force. The Air Force did kind of have a space force of its own. They called it Space Command, and that started in 1982. And then what happened was Russia created aerospace forces in 2015, and then China created also in 2015 the Strategic Support Force so that they could coordinate all their military and space related capabilities. So you see, Russia was at this in 2015, China 2015. So I think that's why Trump has really been pushing us to have this Space Force so that we look like we're also part of this dominant force when it comes to ruling what's going to happen in space. So in December this month, December 20th, 2019, President Trump did sign the Space Force into existence. And there is a quote. He says, "There's going to be a lot of things happening in space because space is the world's newest war fighting domain." So what do they know that we don't know? So it looks like they're getting prepared for something. So my question is, what? Now they are transferring 16,000 personnel from the Air Force to the Space Force. And the Department of Defense long-term vision is to consolidate space operators across different military branches. So it looks like all of the military is going to play some kind of a part in the space operations. And it looks like they requested $27.4 million to start for a budget, but they're only expecting about $40 million of that to come to fruition. Right now, the budget details for Space Force are kind of sketchy. So, Tom, you know me, I'm always asking questions. I'm always worried when we're building more government. I still always wonder what in the heck was the real reason for creation of NASA. I always wondered what were they really doing with these huge budgets, because we supposedly went to the moon and then we were going to go and then we weren't going to go. And then I believe that Obama had said during his administration he was even getting rid of NASA, and then all of a sudden NASA's back on the scene, and not only that, now everybody, we're going to Mars. So it's like these people don't know what they're doing or where they're going. But I gotta ask, because like I said, their current budget was what, $21.5 billion? So people, where's this money really go, especially when we're not really doing anything or going anywhere? NASA was first, well, actually, I think the original NASA was created in 1915 and went through 1958. And then in 1958, just before the space race or the mission to the moon, they decided to create NASA. So I think NASA was a second rendition of the original space entity. And I always wondered, because from when we went to the moon to recent times, especially even the, I don't know, say around 2010, I was wondering, what are we doing with this? Where's all that money going? Because I knew they had a huge budget. And really, the American people have no way of knowing what happens with all this money. All we do is rely on what they tell us. And we've come to learn you don't necessarily take everything the government tells you as gospel. They lie. We know they lie. We know the media lies. So do we really need another branch to go off in this space direction? Now, I know NASA is mainly technology and science related, whereas the Space Force would be more military and protections focused. But still, I'm always suspect when it comes about expanding these huge entities and their programs, because we don't really know where this money's going. And I don't know, I believe only time will tell what this is really being set up for. But just for the record, I did, because I was curious. I haven't heard much about this UN public relations ambassador to the space aliens. So I did a quick lookup, and I found out that, yes, there is, in fact, another director of the UN Office for Outer Space. Her name is Simonetta Di Pepo. She's an Italian astrophysicist, and she is holding that seat as we speak. Folks, I feel like I'm living in the Twilight Zone. Tom, I don't know what your feeling is on this, but this was just part one. I mean, I thought I was going to get more in depth, but the more I looked into this, the more I saw that this is going to be more than a one-part topic, for me anyway. So just curious as to what you think about this new Space Force under the Trump administration.
Hey, is
that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.